Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, here we are, hour number three. I feel like the first 2 hours flew by, Big Rig. I mean, my gosh.
Yeah, they did.
Just like smoked it.
It's a beautiful day out there.
It's a beautiful day. I'm feeling like we're going to be sitting out on the deck for a little bit this evening when I get back to the house. Beautiful weather. I'm digging the fact that there's been like a touch of fall in the air. In the mornings, it's just like, it's there. You can tell it's there. Midday, it's not quite there. Just hang on. It's coming. All right, let's switch gears. We spent the first 2 hours of the show talking about, well, I take it back. If you didn't hear today's monologue because you were stuck in the endless loop that we had going on with the Huntsville broadcast situation, I apologize. But the opening of the show today, I talked about the fact that it's obvious that government has too much of our money if they can do things like what they're doing at UAB right now, which is fund a study on the vaginal health of transgender men. Okay. There's a whole lot in that one sentence. But if you haven't seen the story, you can find it on my Twitter feed at @SinPhilWilliams. But we found out over the weekend that the UAB Medical Center received a $158,000 federal grant to the state-funded university hospital to study the vaginal health of transgender men. Let that sink in. Just so you know, dudes don't need vaginal health. There's that. And then on top of that, you've got a medical center, a state-funded medical center, by the way, a medical center that is denying medical science to pursue the affirmation of transgender men, which is really women who believe they're men. Doesn't work like that. But let's switch gears now. The other thing I talked about for the last ever so long was the situation with the Trump second assassination attempt. And the press is already, you know, all over it. Secret Service just had a press conference. I'll tell you more if I find out more. Trump is saying that the rhetoric from the left is inciting people to this violence, and he's not wrong. But CNN is already saying, how can he say these things? Because it's true. But let me go to another topic right now. I'm going to do what I'm calling Immigration Nation Part 4. Three times last week, there's so many stories going on about illegal immigration in our country that it was a constant theme. We had Tuberville on the show talking about it last week. We had State Representative Ben Robbins on the air talking about it last week. We had any number of y'all calling in and talking about it. I just did a podcast. So the most recent edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast comes out on Wednesday. It's in the can right now. Production already finished it, and they let me know they're preparing to get it uploaded for a Wednesday publish. And I'm pretty stoked about the way these podcasts have been going. But this one is going to deal with the fact that when you are a nation that is benevolent like we are. The United States is the most giving country on the face of the earth, maybe in the history of the earth. The United States is a country that is known for its largesse, known for its giving heart. And when you take a country that has finite resources, because even the United States has finite resources, and you force people to be benevolent by forcing them into a position where, you take care of this person right here, take care of them. Who are they? Where'd they come from? It doesn't matter. Don't ask questions. Just take care of them. What do I got to do? Give them stuff. Give them all your stuff. What stuff do I give them? Give them all your stuff. What you're doing is you're killing benevolence. When government steps in and determines that it will force you to be benevolent, the spirit of benevolence goes away. Not only that, but the resources to be benevolent with also go away. You can't give what you no longer have because the government made you or took it from you to give to somebody else already. That, my friends, is exactly how you kill benevolence. Case in point is Sylacauga, Alabama. Story here on 1819 News that just came out today. Councilwoman Laura Barlow Heath, she's on the city council in District 2 councilwoman for Sylacauga, By the way, Sylacauga is a beautiful little town. If you're not familiar with it, it's a great little town. You ought to check it out. I mean, you got, is it B.B. Comer High School there? I think it is. And you've got the museum there. You've got amazing sculptures. You've got beautiful, beautiful land around it. My granddaddy grew up in Sylacauga. And it's just a fine little town. It's the salt of the earth American town. Sylacauga District 5 Councilwoman Laura Barlow Heath is still seeking answers to address her constituents' concerns about the increasing influx of Haitian migrants. At a recent September 5th City Council meeting, District 2 Councilwoman Tiffany Nix shut down public comment. Yeah, it was arrogant. I'm not going to hear this. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to do this right now. I'm shutting it all down. I've heard enough of y'all. She's arrogant. Tiffany Nix. But Laura Barlow Heath, who's also in the council, is trying to find answers. And the thing is, she says she's getting stonewalled. Says the challenges in the stonewalling at multiple levels of bureaucracy are even stumping her investigative skills. She said, I work for the people, and my people are alarmed. You know, I got a job to do. It's hard to do your job when you're constantly hitting roadblocks and dead ends and there's no answers to be given to the people. She's talked about how she's been working with Congressman Rogers' office, who is having dead ends himself, trying to figure out how this comes... How do they get in vans, potentially in Orlando, Florida, according to State Representative Ben Robbins on our show last week, how do they get in vans in Orlando, Florida, and know to drive to Sylacauga, Alabama? And for what? Because here's the thing. To my point a moment ago about benevolence, when it dies, it's because the government already forced you to be benevolent to the point that you have no more resources left. She says the citizens' alarm and their grave concerns over migrants flooding the town have nothing to do with race. They have everything to do with resources. She said it's a catch-22 with the entire situation. It's not fair to anybody. It's not especially fair to city leaders who don't have the adequate resources to provide to the community. And I mean, it takes away from the people that we serve. She points out Sylacauga has limited housing and even more limited employment. There's also a language barrier. They're going to have to try and find somebody who can speak Haitian Creole. So the whole thing is a debacle. So I guess the point that I'm trying to make there is recognize that what is happening in places like New York City and Denver and Aurora, Colorado and San Francisco and El Paso, Texas, it's not just out there. It's right here. It's right here. And the podcast that I have coming out Wednesday deals with this topic in general because it points out that if you have a government forcing you to give away your resources, then you lose your heart of compassion. It makes it, and they know this. I guarantee they know it. Other stories in the same, I'm in the, by the way, this whole dipper is called Immigration Nation Part 4. There's a member of the Border Patrol, story here on PJ Media. A member of the Border Patrol named Zachary Apotheker. He's 31 years old. He's a 4-year veteran of the Border Patrol. He decided he had to speak up. Says a veteran Border Patrol agent is lambasting the Biden-Harris administration for drastically changing his job from busting major drug dealers and catching illegal aliens and protecting Americans to what he ruefully calls just being nothing more than a migrant concierge service. Oh, should I call you an Uber, Mr. Illegal Alien? Sure. Hail you a cab, ma'am? Sure. Carry your bags for you, sir? Sure. That's how he feels. He says, and I'm an apolitical person. I just want to do my job and protect this country. And when I see people from other countries coming here and getting resources beyond what the American citizen can get, that's where I have to draw the line. And then they're going out and committing crimes, and we're still not removing them, and American citizens are being killed, women are being raped. And he said, however bad you think it is now, it's only going to be worse. He says, the Border Patrol is also not collecting biometric information for children under the age of 14. He says, we have no data on them. And we're not checking the addresses that we're sending these kids to. And we're not connecting them to families. We have no actual proof other than documents. And they're given to so-called sponsors who may or may not be legitimate. As of May, by the way, the stats in this article point out that 291,000 migrant children arrived in the U.S. unaccompanied. And they were never given court dates before they were turned loose into the communities. And all we can do is hope that they are okay. 291,000. Well, why is he speaking out? He's a whistleblower. He said he's willing to lose his job to speak out because he doesn't want to be complicit in something very bad that could happen to this country as a result of the border free-for-all. He says, I ain't doing it anymore. I don't want to do it no more. He said, I'm going to speak out. Whatever happens, it happens to me. That's an amazing thing. When you've got guys who joined law enforcement for a purpose and suddenly have their jobs redesigned so they can be nothing more than what he calls a concierge service for the millions who are streaming across the border. It's completely out of control. When we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you, though, these resources that I'm talking about that are getting thin, well, they're getting real thin, especially when people are losing their homes to house illegals. What? I'll tell you about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. So I'm in this number two of the Triple Dipper. You know what? I may wind up squeezing in all three today. I just don't know. We'll see how this goes. But the bottom line is this. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper, The Immigration Nation, part four. The stories that keep coming out are too much not to bring them back. And so I three times last week, I ran a dipper like this. And now I'm starting back. It's amazing because this is a fluid environment. This is a target-rich fluid environment. So I'm talking about different stories that I think people need to recognize. And one of the things that really gets me right now is that the left is so willing to say, oh, you're just hateful. This is racism. I mean, even right there in Sylacauga, Alabama, the president of the city council, Tiffany Nix, intoned racism because people were concerned about where these Haitian migrants are showing up from and why are they here? What are they here for? This is not a town that's designed to support mass influxes of people who don't already have housing or jobs. But how about this? Story on Woke Spy. Springfield, Ohio. Boy, they've been in the center of all this, haven't they? Springfield, Ohio. What happened in Sylacauga, Alabama is wrong. What happened in Sylacauga, Alabama cannot hold a candle to what has been happening in Springfield, Ohio. Springfield, Ohio, a community of roughly 60,000 people, had roughly 20,000 migrants added to it. That's a third increase in population, and they're all here on the Trump parole program. A resident of Springfield, Ohio, has told a city commission meeting that a county commission meeting that locals are being displaced from their homes to make way for Haitian migrants. I was afraid of this. It says the man who's not been named said the federal government was paying triple the rent for Haitians arriving in town, thus incentivizing landlords to prioritize immigrants over existing residents. That's what they're doing. They're completely juxtaposing the market. They're completely wiping out the entire housing market. They sling 20,000 people into a community of 60,000. And what do you think is going to happen? They're either going to live in the streets or they're going to try to find places. And then the federal government comes in and goes, hey, well, we'll pay you $1,500 a month for that little house. $1,500? I was charging $500. Okay. And so they execute their termination clause in their rental agreements and they start kicking people out. Next thing you know, they're collecting rent like crazy. Your taxpayer dollars, by the way, which they don't care. The DHS and the others and the NGOs who get the grants from the federal government are just slinging money. Here, take care of them, do this. Here, we'll pay for it. Here. And next thing you know, the community's resources are already being depleted. And then the federal government comes in and you've got this going on. Addressing the city commission, the resident who said he'd worked with the homeless community for more than 25 years said he didn't know of a single homeless Haitian in the town because they all got vouchers from the federal government. He said, I personally know, and I'll testify under oath with my hand up to God, somebody, that their house, they were there for 7 years. They lost their house. They were there for 7 years, he said. The landlord said, I need you to move out, find a temporary place. I'm going to remodel, and then you can come back. But when they moved out, turns out he tripled the rent and rented it to Haitians who had received their government vouchers. That is absolutely unconscionable. First of all, You're a bloodsucker landlord when you do that. But next, I would say this. The government is now co-opting the housing market, destroying the economy. And citizens are losing their homes, their jobs, and their personal resources because the government is doing this. How about the issue of jobs? Story here on Fox News. Stateline today. Americans have started waking up to the reality of our country's illegal immigration problem. Politicians, activists, cable news pundits trying to quell the masses with slogans like, immigration makes us stronger, and illegal immigration is a victimless crime. Really? Says that the past 3 years have done anything, it's shown us that uncontrolled mass migration does not make us stronger. It's most definitely not a victimless crime. But it points out that one of the things that's being underreported is that the Bureau of Labor Statistics recently showed that native-born Americans, have lost more than 1.3 million jobs in the last year, while foreign-born workers gained more than 1.2 million jobs. It's almost a one-for-one displacement. 1.3 million American citizens lost, native-born, lost their jobs in the last 12 months, but yet 1.2 million foreign-born workers got jobs. This comes as the Biden administration touts their modest overall job growth, ignoring, though, the glaring distinction. No alarm bells went off. No members of the administration vowed to address it. The data confirms what many people have long suspected, that the White House and many of our other elected leaders strongly prioritize the interests of illegal aliens over American citizens. Y'all, I'm telling you, when American citizens are losing their homes so they can get triple the rent for a government voucher on an illegal alien, or when communities are finding their resources tapped out and they can no longer afford things they need for the schools because they're having to hire interpreters, and when people are losing their jobs only to find out that illegals are getting jobs, you're causing civil unrest. You're causing civil disorder. You're raking the economy over the coals. And there's zero excuse for it, zero purpose, zero, nothing admirable. This immigration nation, I'm telling you, we can't get here quick enough for the election. Can't get here quick enough. Trump says he's going to have the largest deportation in history. I don't know how he's going to do it. I just hope he does. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, just a reminder that tomorrow I will be out of the studio. Some of y'all actually got to hear the plan today because it got jammed up somehow in the system over there at WVNN in Huntsville. But tomorrow I am proud to be the keynote speaker at Athens State University's Constitution Day. And so I'll be there midday, which meant that I had to make a decision on what to do. So rather than do a guest host tomorrow, we decided to do a best of compilation. And so Big Rig took the time to put together a whole bunch of best ofs, got different monologues and interviews and things all mixed together. That are going to play tomorrow in the stead of a live show. So just stand by. I'll be back in the studio on Wednesday. In the meantime, thank you all for making opportunities like this happen, like where I can go and speak at Athens State. That's just very cool. I'm going to jump on a few text messages, and then I'm going to jump into a little bit of some cacistocracy, dipper number three. Grace from Madison says, it's not Trump. It is a TPS, Temporary Protective Status, by Biden and Harris. Well, we'll wait and see what's going on. Jay from Hartzell says, if they're shooting at you, you must be doing something right. Kennedy, Reagan, Lincoln. Yep, no doubt. Mike from Florence, Alabama says, pretty sure they're still doing it here in the Shoals area, especially Russellville area. I was told by the owner of a mobile home park that he didn't care if they were legal or not because he charged by the head and didn't care how many lived in his rentals. Said they paid cash and they knew he'd report them if they didn't pay. We can't stop stupid, and there's no cure for that kind of graft. But I hope that slumlord gets caught. Just saying. By the way, on the topic a little while ago of the Trump second assassination attempt, which is a huge deal, Ron DeSantis did a press conference today. I'm looking at a clip of it right now on my social media. You can follow me on Twitter, especially. I spend most of my time, but at Sin, that's S-E-N, at Sin Phil Williams. But Ron DeSantis did a press conference today, and he was asked the question about why is the state of Florida doing its own investigation into the shooting or the potential shooting of Trump? His response was, I thought this is great. I love Ron DeSantis. He said, that maybe the same agencies who are trying to prosecute Trump investigating the assassination attempt may not be the best thing. Man's got a point. That's one of those where I look at it and go, oh, I wish I had thought to say that. But I'm telling you, he said that. Ron DeSantis, full credit. He's basically saying that he's pursuing what he would call a credible truth in a state-run investigation. We'll see if they get access. I'm not sure if they'll get full access or not because the feds have jurisdiction. But anyway, there's that. All right, look, I'm going to run through a few pieces. So cacistocracy, y'all know what that is. That's part of the vernacular of this show. All you ruffians out there, you know what cacistocracy is. We have our terms around here. We have jackassery. We got cacistocracy. We got any number of, we got Meatloaf Monday and we got Turbo Thursday. But some of the terms that we use, they just become a part of the fabric of the show. Cacistocracy is a word that was given to me on a sticky note by my secretary at the law firm. She said, here's a word for your show. And she handed it to me and I looked at it. K-A-K-I-S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y, cacistocracy. And I said, what is that? She goes, look it up. Cacistocracy is defined as a government run by the least competent of its citizens. Is that the most epic word you've ever heard to describe where we are right now? Case in point, the story that I've already talked about a couple of times and I included it in my monologue, but I'm just going to tell you right now, 1819 News and Yellowhammer both have this story. University of Alabama, Birmingham, UAB, recently received a $158,000 federal grant from the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, to study the, here we go again, the vaginal health of transgender men. You can't make this stuff up. If that's not cacistocracy, I don't know what is. Listen, they're taking our tax dollars to run a state-funded hospital, right? I mean, it's self-sufficient in many ways. And UAB's got some great doctors. But they've got one doctor who apparently is so willing to deny medical science that she will write a grant request and then receive said grant from federal tax dollars that allows her to study. Here it is. The focus of her research will be on the vaginal health of transgender men, according to a summary of the grant. Oh, my gosh. By the way, the Human Rights Campaign, which is a left-wing, you know, LGBTQ activist organization, they rate UAB as a leader in LGBTQ health equality. What does health equality even mean? Well, they get the care they need. They were never denied care. Well, I'm talking about for their self-inflicted wounds of taking elective surgeries and things. Oh, okay. You mean basically they're not told they're not a woman when they're not a woman, or they're not a man when they're not a man. That cacistocracy, that I brought that story up not only because it's an amazingly stupid story, but it's also that those are state and federal dollars at work for you right there. Just think about it. How about this? Cacistocracy. Kamala Harris. What kind of president will she be? Hopefully not one. I hope she's not even president of the PTA. I hope she's retired in about 6 months. Kamala Harris's campaign, according to WokeSpy, Dateline 2 days ago, Kamala Harris's campaign has been using a technique in order to manipulate headlines and descriptions on Google in a bid to appear more supported by mainstream media. What? Okay, listen. If you gotta lie that much, if you're so worried about your image that you're willing to lie and then get caught. All right, so Axios broke the story. Good on Axios. Axios, which is not known for being a conservative venue, right? Axios, the practice involves editing headlines within Google search ads, so it appears that major publishers are in support of the vice president and Democratic presidential nominee. Outlets like NPR, The Guardian, Reuters, and CBS News are among those that are reportedly affected. So in one scenario, it says, The Guardian ran a story about Harris's views on abortion. Supporting text underneath it read, VP Harris is a champion for reproductive freedom and will stop Trump's abortion bans. The move has caught many off guard. While permissible under Google's own policy, the sponsored content then replicates news articles in a way that is not meant or is not immediately evident or meant to be. And the text has been... So bottom line is this. They're gerrymandering the internet. Hoping that the low information... Because you know why? because she is the epitome of kakistocracy. She is the least competent among our citizens desiring to run this country. Now, she made some big claims. Daily Wire has a story that came out Sunday. Daily Wire, Dateline Sunday. Kamala Harris, leader of the kakistocracy, told us in the recent debate, there needs to be stop all this lies about taking people's guns away. I'm a gun owner myself, she says. Tim Walz is a gun owner. Tim Walz might be, but I want to know what kind of firearm Kamala Harris has. She claimed in her interview, too, that aired on Friday, that she would not confiscate people's firearms, but that she would ban so-called assault weapons. Okay. Harris made the remarks during an interview with 6ABC Action News, local news, when the interviewer brought up Harris's claim that she owned a firearm. Where do you draw the line in America on gun ownership and gun use? Well, I'm a gun owner, she said. And Tim Walz, my running mate, is also a gun owner. We're not taking anybody's guns away. I support the Second Amendment. I support reasonable gun safety laws. Shall not be infringed. Reasonable gun safety laws. Shall not be infringed. I'm sorry, you said reasonable gun safety laws. Shall not be infringed. Part of my approach, she said, is this. I was a career prosecutor most of my career. I have personally prosecuted homicide cases. I've looked at autopsies. I have personally seen what assault weapons do to the human body. So I feel very strongly it's consistent with the Second Amendment and your right to own a gun to also say we need an assault weapons ban. Did you? Can you? How do you talk out both sides of your mouth like that? How do you say, I am not going to do that thing that I'm going to do? And everybody goes, okay. She's okay. It's all right. She's not really going to do it. I am not going to do that thing that I'm going to do. What'd she say? She said she's not going to do that thing she's going to do. She is not going to do that thing she's going to do. I did not say that I'm going to do the thing that I am doing. What? That's Kamala Harris. Yes. Now, let us pause for a minute and search through the stock. What else do I have here? I have here a story that it's not quite kakistocracy, but it was so good that I had to get there, especially when you consider that the kakistocracy has been supporting this. So there's a watchdog group out there, and I don't even know who they are, really. I mean, it names them. They're called the New Tolerance Campaign, and I think they're actually a conservative gay organization. That's what I perceive from the article. Because they're the former president of the Log Cabin Republicans and yada yada, but they're they're calling out the hypocrisy of people in the movement, especially those who call themselves Queers for Palestine. Yeah, Queers for Palestine. If you're not familiar, is an organization that goes out. I have to get him after the break. Is an organization that goes out and is, you know, marching and doing demonstrations and supporting, you know, Hamas and Palestinians, and they're calling themselves Queers for Palestine, never thinking for a second that if they were in Palestine, that they would be persecuted. Just like totally oblivious to the fact. It's like Jews for Nazism. That's what this is. Queers for Palestine is like Jews for Nazism. Well, this group called the New Tolerance Campaign is offering $1 million to Queers for Palestine if they'll go over and do a parade in Gaza. I don't want people to shrug off this campaign as some kind of publicity stunt. It's actually a legitimate offer, says the guy who's running the organization, President Gregory T. Angelo of the New Tolerance Campaign. He says this campaign emerged to call out these purported advocates of the LGBTQ equality and put our money where their mouths are. I think this is a real opportunity for these groups to legitimately step up and host an event that would either highlight the fact that Palestinian territories are not indeed a good place for LGBTQ individuals, or it could be a breakthrough moment for pluralism and peace in the Middle East. All right, Big Rig, take me to a break, man. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I got somebody hanging on the line. I'll get them as soon as we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, getting you all the way to go home time. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.